doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my god, this is it, Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you for the Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.
You're listening to The Netball Show with Mizuno, and I'm Sasha Shipway. On this episode, I've been speaking to journalist Erin Delahunty. She writes for The Guardian Sport as well as ABC News in Australia, and is responsible for some outstanding articles on our sport that you may have come across. Today, she's been telling me about the state of the domestic league, the Super Netball League in Australia, after it was postponed due to the coronavirus.
Hi, this is Gretel Tippett, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Erin, exciting news, Super Netball will be back. What do you make of it?
Yes, very, very excited. Saturday, 1st of August, does feel like a long way away, but from where I sit, the fact that we've got a commitment to a full 60-match season, we're going to see finals, and we're going to see a Constellation Cup at the end of the year between the Diamonds and the Silver Ferns, I'm just really excited. I'm a very happy little Vegemite.
love the saying. You know, August, it's still a while away. What are the pros and cons to waiting until that point in time for the league to start?
Yeah, look, I've spoken to a few people behind the scenes, and I've just had a chat to Sue Gordian for a piece in Guardian Australia this week as well. And there's a couple of factors at play. But I think, firstly, players have to get back into the professional environment, have to get back into full-time training. The players and clubs and coaches have really been a bit of a state of inertia for quite a few months now in terms of training at home, not training together, being socially distanced. So you have to give the clubs time to actually get back to where they need to be. The second consideration is border closures, with different restrictions happening in different states in Australia. Having that longer lead time before the season starts hopefully will mean some of those things can be eased, or Super Netball administrators can hopefully make some arrangements so that we can have as normal a season as possible without a hub or anything like that. And then the third consideration, which I guess is most exciting for us as fans and media, is the potential for crowds to be there at the back end of the season, whether that's sort of mid-November to late November when the finals are happening. To be able to get some fans in the stands would just be brilliant, and hopefully Super Netball is giving itself the best possible chance for that.
Oh my gosh, I know. I'd be there. I'm so, so excited. It's also amazing, you know, from a British perspective, that, you know, this date has been announced, because obviously the Super League back in the UK has been cancelled. So I think it gives netball fans across the world kind of a bit more hope, a bit more, you know, something to look forward to. Obviously the ANZ Premiership will be playing as well, but it will just be fantastic to watch. And full 60 match season, they're saying, so that's going to be pretty impressive, and it will delay things and push everything back. Do you think that will have much of an effect, or will it be a positive thing? What do you reckon?
Well, I think now that we have actually got that date, particularly from the clubs and the players' perspective, it's just game on at this point. Everything is up in the air in a lot of different facets of life, but I think a lot of people, with restrictions easing and things changing here in Australia, they are creeping back to normality. And I think, knowing it's a full season, and assuming that clubs will be able to travel and that no one is disadvantaged too much, because that is a real consideration we need to think about. You've got the West Coast fever, they're several thousand kilometres away. I mean, if you think about it in a European context, it's like having a club in Turkey playing, you know, in London, for example. It's a long way. So how the travel is dealt with, I think, will be a point of interest. But assuming that gets handled reasonably well and the clubs are happy, whether that means those interstate clubs come to Victoria and New South Wales, because our borders are open at the moment, and they have a series of games here, and then they have a block of games at home, say, when the borders are open, I think most people will see that competitively as being quite okay. So I don't think, I was a little bit concerned earlier on, depending on a few different, rumours flying around about what might be done and shortening the season, or having a tournament format, or even what New Zealand is doing looks a lot different to their season normally, even the structure of the finals, you know, who finishes one and two, makes the grand final, for example, we're not going to have those asterisks next to our season this year. And I think that's a real point of pride for us as a league. I mean, we are the best league in the world. So I'm excited that we've been able to do that, you know, for fans as well as for the game worldwide.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be really interesting to see how it unfolds and how they get around the borders particularly. And I think what you mentioned there is really, really fascinating. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that will unfold. And of course, ANZ Premiership will finish before the expected finish date of the Super Netball League in November. So do you think that clubs will be capitalising on that earlier finish date?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you know, Super Netball will only be up to, depending on what the draw looks like, you know, round three or round four, and New Zealand will be finished. So we know last year that had a huge, had a huge impact, particularly for the Swifts. I mean, they had a brilliant season regardless of the imports that they were used. They had major injuries, a lot of things to deal with. But they've really exploited the idea of bringing in those players when they needed them. I mean, I can't just personally, Katrina Roré, her performance in the back end of the season last year, she was hugely influential in them being able to win the premiership. So, I mean, Sue Gordon spoke to me about this and she said, you know, people's eyes, coaches' eyes will be going that way if they have major injuries. I mean, all the clubs have their full squads locked in at the moment, so there's no suggestion that anyone will be added at this stage. But, you know, knock on wood, we don't have any major injuries. But if we do, particularly if it's one of your starting seven, coaches are going to want the best players. What that means on the ground for the clubs that are, you know, where we've had staff put off and people had enforced leave and there's all different kinds of arrangements having to be dealt with because of coronavirus, maybe those organisations will look at the coach and say, hey, do we want to put a hand in our pocket and pay a player from another country? But the coaches are going to want the best. So it's certainly on the cards that that could happen, I think, this season.
Definitely. It's really exciting. And, I mean, looking at how players from certain clubs are looking kind of in this pre-season period and how they've been training during lockdown, who will you be watching closely? Who would you tip to possibly be in a final?
Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. I wrote a preview last year and said the Swifts were lucky to win half a dozen games. So what would I know? the wrong person to be asking. I mean, you have to be looking at the clubs that have been able to keep that nucleus of players together, whether that's actually physically, you know, in the same city, and being able to go for walks and runs with one other person. I mean, there's some clubs, and the Adelaide Thunderbirds are an example, where they've had such a significant number of their players overseas. It's not a criticism, that's just the reality. Layla Gascott was a little bit busy in the last few months working for the NHS. And a lot of the players having to come back into that environment, there's obviously going to be a longer period of being able to gel. And I think last time we spoke, Sasha, we talked about the Swifts in particular, with Helen and Sam living together. I mean, that time has got to have bonded them and they've been able to work on things together as housemates and teammates. So I think that the clubs that, you know, the Vixens and the Swifts probably are two of the teams that have really been able to keep their teams tightly together. The Fever as well. So, I mean, it's such an extraordinary year. It's really hard to get a read on that. And I think the first month will be really interesting to watch, particularly if we have some kind of arrangement for the interstate clubs, if they're looking at playing a chunk of games in the beginning away from home. I think it might be similar to what we saw with the World Cup, where the front half of the season, all of the coaches, the strong message was, this is what we can control. We can control how many wins we bank before we go to the World Cup. What happens after the World Cup if someone gets injured, if you win, if you lose, coming back into the environment, the travel, all of those things were out of their control. So I think we're actually going to see something quite similar in that sort of, you know, August sort of period. We'll have a pretty clear idea of who's travelling well.
That's really interesting. I know it's so difficult to predict. I mean, I would not be able to give an answer, so I apologise. But I can't wait to see exactly what will happen, and hopefully fans will be allowed to go towards the end of it if it's safe, of course.
Wouldn't that be brilliant?
It would be so good. It would just, you know, kind of put things back to some kind of normality, which would be a great finish to 2020, to be honest, after the year it's been.
Absolutely.
So we also know the Quad Series has been cancelled, and we're hoping that Constellation Cup will still go ahead. What are your thoughts on that whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's hugely disappointing for the Quad Series because it really was just starting to generate some momentum, I feel like. It was becoming something that you look forward to on the fixture. And even with Australia not being in it this year, it still enabled England and Jamaica, you know, these other nations to have a serious series to look forward to. And we know through history, I mean, England, you know, your English listeners know better than anyone, that access to that top flight competition is where you take your game to the next level and where you get to play on the best possible players. So it's hugely disappointing that we're not going to have that Quad Series, but I think, you know, most people can understand why that's happening given quarantine and restrictions on international travel, where I guess it's just fortunate that the Trans-Tasman, that Australia and New Zealand, it appears, have managed coronavirus as well as any nation in the world. So it looks like, I mean, we might even have, Australia and New Zealand might even have a little travel bubble they're talking about at the moment here in Australia where we can go on holiday in New Zealand and vice versa. So that Constellation Cup series, hopefully we're able to get two games in New Zealand and two games here in Australia as well. Maybe that's late November, potentially early December, probably, you know, the first 2 weeks of December, certainly it would be looking like, and that would be really exciting because you'll have had a full Super Netball season, but you won't have had too much of a lag between the end of the season. Obviously, there might be issues with fatigue, but you would hope that your top flight players from Australia will really be hitting their straps at that time of the year to meet New Zealand, because we still need to knock them off because we still owe them for Liverpool, don't we?
That competitiveness, I love it. I know, and you do. You have to get them back, so that will be very interesting. And I'm sure everyone will be saying, you know, it's time to seek revenge and even up the playing field a bit.
Yeah, we'll have a new Diamonds coach by then as well, Sasha. So that's really interesting. Oh. That'll be their first test for them. Whether they blood some new players, you know, we'll get a bit of a bit of a look at what their plans might be as well, because they've got a bit of a longer run up now until the next Com Games and until the next World Cup in South Africa. So that's really exciting for Australian fans to know that we are at least going to have that Constellation Cup, regardless of what it looks like in November or December.
Thanks for listening to that episode of The Netball Show. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to keep in touch, we're online at The Netball Show. Take care and stay safe.
I will be doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
1 minute, I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you to the Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.